Hello and welcome to another episode of City on a Hill, a podcast about what it means to be a citizen of heaven and a citizen of the United States. We want to encourage Christians to find their tribe in the church and their hope in the kingdom of God, rather than to seek both in the kingdom of man. So with that, let's get to it today.
Well, hello, my name is Eric Eastet.
And I'm Scott Reevely.
And this is another episode of the City on a Hill podcast. And today we want to first, I just want to acknowledge that the world is tense. There's a lot of tension. There's been 2 years of tension, frankly. And if you're sitting in that, we're hoping that today we can give you some tools that help you kind of sift through some of that tension. You probably have tension with relationships, with family, with disagreements about any number of things. And we are the City on a Hill podcast that tends to talk about some political things, which is inherently full of tension. So we're gonna chat through a little tool that we have in our toolbox that I learned in seminary. I don't know.
Just say, you can be tense like Eric, or you can just be completely chill like me.
That's funny.
And I'm just like so relaxed and, you know, everything rolls off, no problem. So just in case.
Everything rolls off.
Just in case that isn't the, you know, I'm not completely telling you the truth or you're tense like Eric, then this tool should be helpful.
I feel pretty good. I'm not sorry, I'm not tense at all. So we're going to talk about levels of certainty today. I learned this. This is one of the things I pull out of my tool belt most often from seminary, I think.
Maybe you might, you know, from our conversations, you might pull this out as much as you pull out anything else that you got there.
Yeah.
As far as languages or theological assertions or anything, you use this maybe most of all. I don't think I'm overstating by saying that.
Yeah. I'm super grateful for it. So it's levels of certainty. I got this from Gary Beshear's theology class. I sat under him for several classes and many hours.
And he got it from Randy Roberts.
He got it from Randy Roberts. Maybe they worked on it together. I don't know. But levels of certainty, and this is a theological tool to ascertain how certain are we about some truth, some thing in Scripture. And the things that we are most certain about, are there's probably the least amount of those. And then as we become less certain about things, there's more and more of those things. And the intensity with which we hold them should change with our level of certainty. So he gives, Randy and Gary, they give four different levels. They have a die for level, which sounds really intense, and it should be intense. There's a divide for level. There's a debate for level. And there's a decide for level. And even in the way I just described those, you can hear it ease as it goes.
It might actually be helpful to start from the bottom up on that. Just talking about, so going the other direction, it's decide for, debate for, divide for, and die for. Mm-hmm. And the reason I want to turn it around is I would love for myself and for all of us to start with decide for. We've got to make some decisions about some things. And as we make those decisions, we begin to see how important those things actually are. And as they appear more important, then we work harder at them, maybe. But we begin with the kind of the lowest level and escalate, I guess, would be the way I would say, rather than dying for everything and then realizing, well, it's actually, if you die for everything, it's too late. You can't divide for stuff, so you have to start at the other end.
I'm sorry, friend. You already died on a hill. Yeah, and it wasn't a very big hill.
Yeah.
So and now you're dead. Yes.
That's kind of why I think decide for. And so, you know, in thinking about that, you know, what are some of those things that you would have to decide for as far as your thinking goes?
So first, this is generally in a theological context, we're going to be, our text will be Scripture, right? We're working from Bible, and they're at the decide for level, the amount of stuff to reference in Scripture is going to be at its lowest. There's not going to be much certainty as we're looking at Scripture about a particular thing. So when you come at it, you're just going to go, you know what? I've decided I've decided this, and this is my decision, and I'm still going to be kind with people, but I'm just trying to be wise in the world. Some of the things I'll put in this category, people's position on alcohol, I think, should go in this decide for level. You can decide one way or the other, and you just need to figure out how to love each other if you don't land on the same way. There's obviously wise ways to do that, wise ways to act out that decision. And there's in that decision in particular in Scripture, there's some things you shouldn't be drunk. Yeah. So there's nothing limits. Deciding about that. That is more obvious. But the decision to partake at all would be a decide for.
And some of the reason it would be a decide for is that there might be good reasons to do it one way, mm-hmm. and good reasons to do it another way.
Right.
You know, in other words, there probably are some good reasons for people not to imbibe, and there, you know, I think appears to be freedom mm-hmm. in the Scripture for people, to imbibe, and that is, both those reasons are good reasons, and
right.
you have to be able to say, okay, I see you've got mm-hmm. reasons here, and I can't refute them from the Scripture, so that's okay.
And even more so, those reasons could be applications of wisdom, either for or against,
mm-hmm.
Which there's a bunch about wisdom in Scripture. We want to be wise. We want to, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And you could accurately and appropriately apply wisdom and decide to do one thing, or in a different type of context, decide to do something else. So that's where that level is. I think another thing I'd put there, how are you going to educate your kids? That's one. And I think that could be such a decide for that I could make different wise decisions about different kids. I know people that mm-hmm. They'll do, one kid will maybe be homeschooled, another kid, this particular school would be really helpful for them, or another kid has maybe some difficulties or some learning disabilities, and if they were able to be in the public school system and take advantage of the programs that are there, this would be really good for that kid. And you could have three kids and three different options of education for those kids.
Or one year one thing and one year another thing.
Yeah, exactly. But, exactly.
Yeah, and there are possibly subsets even of that decision that mm-hmm. you might go for a little more strongly and debate for them. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, see, and this is why we're doing it, right? Because I'll tell you what, I have had people come at me guns blazing about school choice. And they want their freedom, and they want to do it differently than me. And I don't think I've said, yeah, you have to do it the same as me, or else you're wrong. I think I've tried to not do that, but yeah, that's been a guns blazing. When you start blazing your guns, you're really elevated. And if one of those guns goes the wrong direction, it's a die for thing all of a sudden.
Right,
I mean, it really
right.
becomes a serious thing. So that's probably one. I think, when you're there, you can think of these in terms of Romans 14 to 15, where you've got somebody who has a conscience that is different, and you're going to moderate your behavior, maybe. Even though you're free to do one thing, you're going to moderate it here for the sake of someone else. I think that's
right.
probably one of the ways that you exercise love toward people mm-hmm. who are, brothers and sisters and family members. And so you might decide differently, but you still love them. And some of those, schooling has some long-term consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, alcohol. Yeah, especially if somebody says, yes, I'm going to drink, and they shouldn't, they're going to have right. some long-term consequences. There are some other things that are more stupid, maybe, that are also decide-for things. I mean, in the article that you got from your class, it says, how long was Jesus' hair? Guess what? You're free to decide that. We don't know what kind of barber Jesus had or what his beard exactly looked like. There are people who might say one thing or the other, but
I think in the article he actually made a fifth level and said, who cares?
Yeah.
It's such a non-consequential thing. But people argue about something at that level.
And they can lose friends over stupid stuff like that. Right. So we're just trying to help people be irenic about things that they, you know, need to be peaceful about and stand up for things they need to stand up for. So that's kind of why we're taking this up today. But we're not making very fast progress, are we? We are just deciding for stuff right now.
It's great. And just as an example of some of the Romans 14, 15, a lot of that was around eating meat. And one person decides to do this. And you'll hear a lot in scripture about, I'm not going to do the thing I've decided to do in front of the brother whose conscience tells them not to do that. Love should override all the things in these decide for. So I'm going to love the brother that decides something different and make sure my actions in front of them show them that I love them. So have that be your mind in Christ also. So decide for, let's ramp it up. We're going to debate for.
What? No, we're not.
Oh,
sorry. Oh, yes, we are. Yes, we're going to debate for. That's the second.
So if we go up a level, the level of certainty increases. Maybe there's more information in Scripture. The impact of that information is more dramatic. Not incredibly so, but we're not just deciding for. This is worth debating about. This is worth having an argument about, a disagreement, and then working through it. What are some of the things you would put in a debate for level?
Well, there are probably things about worship services, what kind of style of music you might have, or I suppose people could even debate for what translation of scripture they might use, and some age of the earth might be one that you would have here, and there are good reasons to, you know, to believe different things too. These are not so much though wisdom based. You're going to have to debate for these based on something else. Like, I'm based on the scripture, in my understanding of what this says, I'm going to hold this position. I'm going to, you know, be able to defend my position based on scripture, not based on my, you know, kind of how I'm going to apply or try and use wisdom in some other way, like we might in the other, you know, alcohol situation or schooling situation. But more, I'm going to need to anchor it somewhere.
Right. I think the way you do ministries is probably like the practical input. How are we actually going to do ministry in the world? That could be, or whether we do it at all, that could be something you debate about, because you have to make a decision. That's one of the things about a debate for, is you have to, especially in a church context, you have to decide. Like, what are we gonna do? What's the practical implication? So you have to figure out, what song are we gonna sing and how are we gonna sing it? And you have to debate about those things.
And you know, you can still be peaceful and loving about that. You know, and granted, when you talk about singing songs in church, I've not always been on the receiving end of loving, careful, thoughtful, kind comments. And again, that's part of the reason that we're trying to talk about these things is, you know, and again, there is a sense in which some of that might be for somebody they're willing to divide for. They're escalating it. And whether they have a reason to, I may not understand their reason, but they're going to escalate it. But, you know, I'm going to try and decide, you know, what kinds of things can I keep down here in the debate for a situation. And, you know, some of those are what kinds of, you know, maybe the nature of membership in church might be that. I mean, do you have membership or not? That might actually bump up too, but it might be here. The place that you have for women in leadership might be here. And you have to maybe get pretty clear on that. And again, that, depending on where you are, that might bump up to divide for, but it I think it needs to start here. And that's kind of what we're trying to advocate for, is let's treat things as a decide for thing. And then we realize, yeah, maybe it is more important than that. And so we have to take it up. But the reason that we want to do that, and the reason that I mentioned even some of those that might be that might get bumped up there is because if you can decide for it, if you can debate for it, or maybe argue for it in love and in relationship, mm-hmm. so that you are with someone instead of against someone, mm-hmm. that would be the debate for right. level. That would be, I think, the ideal, as I see it in Scripture, is to, you know, love people who are different from you and don't expect everyone to be like you in order to be, I mean, part of your church or be in fellowship with you. And to be able to disagree and still be in relationship is a significant accomplishment, and I think one that Scripture requires of us. Mm-hmm. If people didn't rub you the wrong way, you wouldn't have to bear with one right. another. You wouldn't have to love one another. You wouldn't have to welcome one another. You just would naturally be, you know, great with everybody. Mm-hmm. But here, I really want to advocate to keep what you can at the debate for
right.
level or below, really. Right.
And I just want everyone to realize there are more debate fours than there are divide fours. Just by nature of, or rather, there should be more debate force than there are divide force. And I think just the human nature, I want everyone to agree with me because I think I'm right. And we are prone to be divisive rather than learn how to talk, disagree. Okay, I'm still going to sit in the pew next to you and we're going to worship Jesus together. That should be your desire, I think. And I've had these conversations desiring that kind of end rather than let's not ramp this up. This doesn't need to ramp up. We can still worship Jesus together. We can still serve together. We can still proclaim gospel together.
And again, we're talking about this because the culture is the word that you would probably know is polarized. Mm-hmm. Polarized is not decide for, debate for. Polarized is divide for or die for,
right.
and make it a big, big deal. And mm-hmm. so what we're, you know, the reason we're talking about this, there are tools that might help you not be polarized when you don't need to be. Mm-hmm. So that's what that is, I think.
And realize that the environment we live in, inside or outside the church, is pulling you that direction. So it's telling you to ramp up.
That's what I mean.
And
right.
you don't need to ramp up.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Let's start here and mm-hmm. work our way up rather than just jump in the fray. Mm-hmm. So probably then...
And now we're going to ramp up.
I was going to say, probably the fray is the next level, isn't it? So the next level, we would say, is the divide for. Mm-hmm. And here we get a more serious disagreement, mm-hmm. basically. And again,
just to point it out, make it obvious, at a divide for level, the description in Scripture is more. There's more talk about this stuff. The level of certainty has increased, thus the level of disagreement increases.
There's more information, and so the level of certainty mm-hmm. increases. So I'm more mm-hmm. certain about what I believe because there's mm-hmm. more information. And so then I'm going to fight differently, right?
And at a divide for level, the level of certainty has increased, but also the importance of that piece is also there. If, mm-hmm. you could be very certain about something that doesn't matter. That doesn't make it a divide for.
There you go. Good.
But at a divide for level, these things are so important that it warrants, maybe even necessitates, division. And these would be the things at a broad level, the things that make it so I can't, it wouldn't be right for us to worship together regularly on a Sunday. They will affect the way we do church so dramatically that there will be constant conflict.
That we would be unable to covenant together mm-hmm. as members of the same church, probably. Mm-hmm. And so some of those things historically, and a lot of these then are historical.
Right.
At this point. I mean, there's baptism, there is the communion, there are views on gifts of the Spirit, and those sorts of things that have historically been things the church has divided for and said, no, we need to hold to our conviction and be separate. And so there are separate churches that believe differently about those things and many others. Mm-hmm. But that would be the divide four level.
You'd also have a ecclesiological structure probably goes in here, just because if you organize differently, as far as like the office of church leadership, it wouldn't make sense that if you are Episcopalian or Presbyterian and you're organizing things differently, it wouldn't make sense that you'd be together, because you structure in categorically different ways. Mm-hmm. or who you say an elder is, or the qualifications of an elder. If you disagree on those things, that's gonna rear its face every single Sunday. You go, we don't agree.
Yeah.
So the division there would make sense.
There's some, liturgical things, some convictions about the way preaching is done, maybe, and that in a church that you'd say, you know what, I can't go to that church. I can't be part of that. I'm going to go somewhere else. It might be that. Mm. So there are a number of things. All that to say, there are a number of things here that are reasons maybe to step away from your church or step away from a brother and divide for.
But I do want to emphasize, you just said brother or sister. That's still the correct label.
Right.
So we're not going to be in the same church together and covenant together in a local community, but we're still brother and sister. We're still Christians. We're still connected to the body of Christ together.
We're not going to accuse one another,
right,
of being outside the faith because we divide over any of these things.
Right.
That's a good distinction. Thank you. And then you got the top level things, mm-hmm, which are die for, mm-hmm, things. And here would be the things that would be really important.
Mm-hmm. And so much so that we would be willing to die for them.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. And in some respects, for me, it's if there was a gun to my head, mm-hmm, so it isn't, am I going to kill you over this? That's not what we mean by die for.
Right.
What we mean by die for are these things important enough and clear enough that if I was to renounce them or change, that it would maybe be better for me to die than do that. Mm-hmm. So you can see that would be hopefully not everything and hopefully only a few things, but those would be a few things strongly held. Mm-hmm. Things like justification by grace alone, or the bodily resurrection of Jesus, mm-hmm, or the Trinity, or the authority of Scripture, or some of those things that, again, historically, people have been asked to recant at gunpoint and said no.
Right.
Because to do that would be to renounce my faith in the risen, mm-hmm, Christ. Mm-hmm. So that's the level of that. But I got to be pretty certain about those things before, mm-hmm, I'm willing to die for them, too. Mm-hmm. So there's certainty and importance both wrapped up in that.
Right.
And so that's the...
And again, the witness of Scripture here is very, very, very clear.
Yeah.
About these things,
right?
And the caution is that we don't, I mean, really divide for or die for. We don't want to pull any of those things in that debate for or decide for a level and say, if you don't agree with me on this thing, you're a heretic. Like that's describing something as a die for level thing, mm-hmm, and it just doesn't. One, that escalation is not necessary for so many things, and two, that's just creating unnecessary division.
Right.
On things that don't matter near as much.
Yeah. And so this is a helpful framework in thinking about theology, right? That's what we mostly have been talking about, or even some of the practical applications of your theology. But it occurred to me as we have been thinking about this and looking for tools in the tool belt that will help us navigate things that are tricky, is that you can probably also just step back and say, there are some of these things that you could apply the same grid. Let me say it this way. You could apply the same grid with many things political, with many things in our world today. And if you layer over that your faith in Christ, I mean, what are the political things that you have to decide for, in a church, and you remain in that congregation, and there might be the fact that you have to decide whether you're going to vote. Are you going to be a voter, or are you just going to stay abstain from voting? Mm. You know, you might have to make that personal decision, but you probably can worship with somebody mm-hmm. who makes it differently than that. Mm-hmm. Or if you're going to be Republican, they're going to be Democrat. I would think that you probably do have to make that decision. Mm-hmm. And then you probably could continue to submit to Jesus, and so could they, and you could be in same church.
To be unaffiliated. you could make that decision too.
Right. But either way, you have to decide for some things, and then you have to also decide, okay, how important is that thing I decide for? Because mm-hmm. maybe I can't worship with anybody who is of a different political party than I am. If you escalate something like that, just by definition, you're... you know, there may be some other debate for or divide for things that come up in there, but if you're just saying the label is too much for me,
right?
You're escalating maybe
that's
something.
That's an unnecessary escalation.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to get people to think about,
right?
Is what needs to be escalated, what needs not to be escalated. Mm-hmm. You know, it might be that your schooling thing is a decide for kind of a thing. It could be political as well as, you know, practical or biblical, sure, or whatever. But then it could bump up and there could be some legislation about schooling. And then you've got not only to decide, what am I going to do with my kids, but you might have to debate about it or come to, you know, and really this is where most, I would say, of the political things in our world reside, is in this mm-hmm. debate for sort of a level, mm-hmm. because by just almost by definition, I mean, that's what the legislative bodies do. They right. debate it, right. and they argue it, and they talk about it. And
a bunch of people with differing opinions get in there mm-hmm. and say, let's go this way, no, this way. How about I change this a little bit? Does that bring you on board? No, it doesn't. Yes, it, and then
it's built for that.
Is debating.
Yeah, it's built for that. And so when you've got policy decisions and you're thinking about, you know, a policy about taxes or about tolling the freeway, which is one of the things that's be in my bonnet, you know, those are things you debate for. And I really would love to persuade somebody about not tolling Interstate 205 mm-hmm. if you're listening. Mm-hmm. But that is...
says to me.
Yes. Anyway, that is a most things are debate for things there. Mm-hmm. And then
also we just talked about the legislative body,
yeah,
where it's clearly debate for is there. That's the purpose. And mm-hmm. I voted for this guy to go there, or this gal to go there. And they're going to go debate for that. I can debate with my friends, but we're not in the legislative body. So there could be some debate for is there, but man, Let the people with whom it should be tense deal with the tension rather than, hey, we need to get all up in arms with each other about some bill.
And all of the things still apply. The things we were talking about, church things, right? In Romans 14 and 15, and love your brother and be disagreement in relationship. And all of those things that we were talking about when we were talking about church stuff, mm-hmm. we are still talking about with respect to politics. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably where we really wanted to get to in this, because there are a number of things that people have said, we're dividing for this.
Right.
We are leaving the church over this political issue. And, you know, that's been really, really disappointing and painful, frankly. Mm. And, you know, I'll just say it. You know, where does the question, I'm going to wear a mask or not wear a mask, where does that land in here? Or I'm going to get a vaccine or I'm not going to get a vaccine, where does that land in here? Mm. And we were talking about levels of certainty. Okay, we were talking about levels of importance, and, you know, is that the kind of thing that you can, you know, argue or disagree in love and relationship about, or must that be a divide for thing? And, you know, I'm just going to say there are a lot of people who said, no, that's a divide for thing. for me and have escalated some things that are really fairly benign into something that's kind of cancerous, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're talking about it with respect to political things and how they affect the church and its reputation and its ability to carry out Christ's work in the world. Does that mean that there are no divide for things in a political sphere? That would be maybe the question.
I think the very fact, it's a little hard for me to overlay because I'm so used to thinking about this theologically, but it makes sense that there's two parties. There's not one party. Mm-hmm. Thus, there's a division. There's a division of general posture towards ideas of what should be implemented in government or not implemented in government. That's necessarily a divide. We're not going to, when I was just starting to get started in stuff, it's, hey, you need to come over here with me. Like, no, there's enough difference. There's enough, this chasm is big enough that I can't be on that side of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I need to be disagreeable. I can interact. We can, still, love neighbors. That doesn't need to go to the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just at a basic political level, you believe this about how the world should work. Okay. That doesn't work. I believe this about how the world should work.
Yeah.
So there's natural divisions there.
Yeah. And I think there are two, might even say two levels of division there. There is the level about how I think the world works best.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think will lead to human flourishing, which I do have conviction about because I think the scripture wants, God wants humans to flourish.
Right.
And so I care about some of those things that might have to do with taxes or tolling to a vibe or any of those things that might get me fired up because I want human flourishing.
Mm-hmm.
And there are then also things that have to do, that are theological in nature, that are also political, that are, legislative bodies and politicians are acting on and deciding about things that have to do with the sanctity of human life or about human sexuality. I mean, some of those things are at a level of certainty in the scripture where you're going to say, you know what? I can't be part of that party, or I can't be part of, I have to vote against that. Mm. I have to be against that, divide for it, because of my theological conviction that is a reason that I would divide about something. And so there's theological, but there's also then my best understanding about the way the world works, like you said, and how I want to implement that in the world. And there are a lot of those sorts of decisions that are debate for things, but you're going to have to make a decision. It's going to separate you politically. But I don't know that some of those, if I think something about tolling to a five, that, I say that, but that probably does fall, I want to escalate it. See, this is, I'm catching myself right here. I put that in the divide for category, and then I just think, that's ridiculous. I need to be with brothers and sisters who are pro-tolling, because loving Jesus is more important than...
Definitely debate about it.
...than the traffic that goes in and out of my city.
Right.
And so I do have some strong feelings, and I do think it will impact human flourishing in my city, so I want to be pretty strong on it.
Right.
But I still think that my relationship with brothers and sisters is more important than that tolling. So,
That idea, let me clarify what I said before. I was talking about parties and the necessary division of parties. That's a necessary division of association that is far less important than association with church.
Right.
So I was talking about how things divide naturally because how are we gonna organize government? There's going to be division of approach.
Right.
But that division, I would not at all equate with the division associated with, well, we can't worship together on an ongoing basis.
Mm-hmm.
So differing parties, let's sit in the same pew. That should not be a reason to divide out of a church.
Well, and I think that, I hope that you hear
send
us.
Send the emails to me. That's fine.
Yes, we still need to send all the emails, Eric. But I do think that, you know, I hope you can even tell as we're sort of processing this, that these things are, these are process-oriented things, things you're going to have to think about and wrestle with and, you know, bump up and then bump back down and mm-hmm. then think about in several different ways. Like if you shine the lens on things in, say, just governmentally, Eric says, well, there's two parties. There's always going to be two parties, da, 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 da. You know, and there are. So from one angle, yes, there's some divide for. But then you drop back and you say, okay, let's look at that in the church. Is that in the church going to, does that, you know, supersede my devotion to Christ or whatever? And from that angle, no, it better not. Mm-hmm. And so you have multiple angles on the same sorts of decisions. And while they might politically make me divide from somebody else, do they need to make me divide from somebody else who is a brother or a sister? Mm. And so you've got several angles on some of these things, again, which has to do with certainty. It has to do with importance. It has to it has to do with the importance of the gospel and the unity I have with Christ and consequently other members of his body that are going to impact the way that I behave. Mm. And so I just want us to be, you know, humble for the most part about these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and if you were to escalate too, I just want to acknowledge that, you know, there are people who have said, I will die for my country. I mean, in other words, mm-hmm. that's, you sign up for the military, I think you probably yeah. are at least risking that. And I appreciate that. That's not really what we're talking about here. We're not going to try and discourage somebody from signing up for military service, but we want to recognize, though, as far as the ideas go, and really mostly the relationship that we have with other believers, those are the things that are mm-hmm. causing us the stress and making us say, can we help people think about this and talk about this and remain in relationship and get past something else? And the reality is the polarized world that we have in the way that it's talked about on TV news, the way that it's talked about on social media, says no. Really, there, you know, the other side is a fool and must be divided from, mm-hmm. and that gets imported into the church. And I think that's some of what has happened in the church, is that we've imported this polarization, mm-hmm. and we can't just simply let that go, mm-hmm. and that's caused some unfortunate division, I think, in churches.
Yeah. So there's some tools. We gave you some tools. I hope they're helpful. Maybe you can ponder through an issue or something and see how you land using these tools, and then send us an email or tell us what you think on the social media stuff that all this stuff gets posted on. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and rate us. If you find what we're doing helpful, a review obviously goes a long way to getting this to other people. Share this with a friend. You could call them and say, hey, I was thinking through some things and here is a podcast episode that maybe you guys can think through that together. That would be fun. And then send questions to podcastnewlifeandw.com, and we will look forward to the next conversation.